Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Well, my friends, it's happened. People have started hitting me with emails asking me to pull out the old crystal ball. And to say the least, my crystal ball is pretty cloudy right now. I can't really see the future that well. It's not like we're in a place that we've been in any time in my past experience. I've not seen the Republicans have control of two houses and the presidency. So it's a little different. But it's really interesting because it's something that, in general, everybody wanted. Now, when I say in general everybody wanted, I want to take you back to this rhetorical conversation that I've seen happen in the news back and forth here in the last couple of days. And one of the questions, and we got to start with this, because when you ask where is the country going and how will that affect our investing, you have to first ask, how much of a change are people asking for by voting for Donald Trump? And if you look at the Republicans, they're going to say, they want everything changed. That's why they gave you the House and the Senate and the presidency. You have almost carte blanche. You have the legal system with the them making the ruling that presidents can't do anything wrong. So basically, Trump and his guys can do just about anything they want and get away with it until you vote them out, which could be as soon as 2 years. You could take back the House, take back the Senate. So if these guys really muck it up, and sometimes the Republicans have seen them do it, you know, they can't get out of the way of their own problems, just put it that way. They get so out of control, right? And they don't have the press on their side. The press is going to say everything they do, the press is going to say it's wrong, right? The only one they have is Fox News. And so this becomes a giant rhetoric conversation. So let's dig into the rhetoric a little bit here before we get into the actual issues, because there are quite a few issues that need to be discussed. Let's start with, are the Republicans right? 51% of the country said they wanted Donald Trump. Or are the Republicans right when they say, really, it's more like 60%, and that a good 10% of Americans voted just against Donald Trump? In other words, they do not like what the Democrats are doing. They just didn't want to vote for Trump. Some percentage of Democrats just voted against Trump and not for Democratic rule. In fact, you can see that by the fact that there's no upheaval. Last time Trump got voted in, people were killing themselves. People were rioting in the streets. They were going crazy. And now people are like, eh. Trump is putting up people for positions in the government that they really are not qualified for. But he's putting them in there because they're going to tear those organizations apart. So the question is, does 51% or 60% or 61% of the people really want those organizations taken apart at the seams? I would suggest, my crystal ball says, yes, they do. Some percentage, 51 to 61% in there, are just tired, especially the lawfare. The legal stuff, it just blows my mind. The other one is the border. Just blows my mind. I think people are tired of both of those. They're tired of seeing the politicians get away with murder and everybody else, you know, have to live in crime. And you have to look at that and crime as part of the politicians getting away with murder. Because here's guys doing things that are so illegal and then being let go. And then you've got murderers being put back on the street. So you've got top-heavy crime getting away with it. You've got bottom-heavy crime getting away with it. And then you got the rest of the people. That's 60% of the people get up and go to work every day. I think that's 60% because I really believe I fall into that 60% because I grew up in it. I may have a little bit more money than some of that group. I might be on the top edge of that middle America group. But the bottom line is that I feel like we don't want that stuff. We want to be safe. We want to know the law is legal. It's blind. That's why they have the mask on the lady. Law should be blind. Shouldn't look at your politics. Shouldn't look at your age, your race, your sex, or your politics. It should be blind. So in that, I think the country has shifted back to right middle, middle right. 4 years ago, the country was definitely middle left. We were going into this woke stuff that was just driving people to insane positions. And they were getting away with it. And people were letting them do that, not thinking about what it was going to lead to. What are the unintended consequences of being far left? Now, when I was a kid, I was far left. And I heard this saying one time. I thought it was really interesting. Because if you weren't far left when you were a kid, you had no life. You had no love, no mystery, no excitement. But if you're not far right by the time you're an adult, you're an idiot. Because living in the real world is right of center. Living in a lunacy world is left of center. And I believe the country shifted back to right of center. How far? That crystal ball's not that clear. So why is that important? It's important because when we talk about all these policies that people are going to change, the question is how far will they let these policies be pushed to the right? Now, the Democrats are saying, look, you don't have a landslide. You had 50% or you had 49% of the vote. We had 48% of the vote and 3% didn't vote. So you're only one percentage point difference in total vote. Now, the Republicans are saying, well, let's look at that. We have more votes than have ever been obtained by a Republican presidential candidate, more than anyone ever. We flipped all seven of the states that make a difference in if you win or lose, right? They're talking about we got all three houses of Congress. And really the Supreme Court. And you're telling me that's not an overwhelming decision. And my crystal ball says that is an overwhelming decision. However, that decision could flip right back within 2 years. I've seen it happen so many times in my very old life. And by the way, the aging of the people is an interesting construct. Because I'm finding as the older I get, the less people I know. I'm losing people. My age, people are dying. They're gone. They disappear. They can't make it anymore. I've lost two people in the last week. Actually, three. I lost a friend in the train community also. So you think about that and go, what does that do? Well, that says that if those older conservative people are dying off, you would think that the country would be becoming more liberal. But when you look at it, the youth is not wanting it to be more liberal. The youth is actually voting the other direction. That's interesting. Because when you get into each and every one of these details that we're going to look at, and we've got a lot of them. We've got taxes, tariffs, energy, housing, affordability, interest rates, illegals, Fannie, Freddie, flood insurance, foreign investments, zoning. These are all governmental decisions that are going to be affected over the next 4 years. And the question is, how far will they push them? Which direction? We need to be able to understand that to make good business decisions. So today we're going to be covering this multitude of possible changes. And at the end, we'll try to tie it all together with a bow, like, well, what does that mean to us as investors? The first one I'm getting a lot of requests about is, what happens if Trump gets rid of all the illegal aliens? That's like been said to be 12 million people. Some people say it's 15 million. Some say 18 million. Some say 20 million. Some say who knows. How many illegal aliens are. Well, I think what you're going to find, this is my opinion of it, is number one, the mandate to get rid of illegal aliens is as follows. Number one, the criminals and the gangs. I think they'll have no problem. You know, you'll see the Democrats act like fools and try to keep them from taking those people out of their cities and states because they think that's the political slant of the people that voted them in. I don't think they're going to succeed. I think the country is going to demand them to get the criminals out of here. I think that's a logical thing to do. Wherever I sit in this spectrum, you know, I'm not a Republican, I'm not a Democrat, but wherever I'm sitting in the chair I'm sitting in right now, I think they need to get rid of the criminals. It's insane to let the criminals be here. Next is the spies. Who knows how many Al-Qaeda, how many Chinese, how many, all these different spies that have got into the country. They find those people. They weren't vetted. They need to get rid of them, right? So how many people is all that? Well, I think it's like 120,000 people. Not 20 million people. It's like 120,000. Now, let's think about it for a second. These people are not paying rent. They're hiding, right? And they're not a part of the economy. They're not producing anything. These criminals are not producing anything. They're not paying any rent. They're not paying any taxes. This whole thing of, well, if you take all these people out, this 20 million, you're going to destroy the economy because those people produce something. Well, my little crystal ball says they won't let Trump take that many out. And I also believe myself, which I have no relevance to believe this, I don't think he really wants to. I think it's an issue that he, number one, wants to get the bad people out, and number two, wants to close the border. Now, why do I think this? Well, I'm almost 70 years old now. For the last 60 years of my life, when I was old enough to follow what's going on, neither the Republicans or the Democrats ever wanted to pass a bill to take people out that were illegals. In fact, both the Republican side and the Democrat side has come back with bills where they let people have amnesty and become U.S. citizens. Why? Because in our country, we don't even replace our body count with kids. And you need people to work, and you need people to pay into the tax structure. The thought that these people will all be Democrats is why the Democrats thought they'd get away with just opening the border. They found out that it's not as easy as they thought. Working class people, if that's what got in, are going to want working class conservative type leadership. So I think they're wrong, especially if Trump gets rid of the illegals, the criminals, and all of the spies. Just how I see it. The rest of the people, they got to have a place to live. And I think it's going to eventually balance itself out like housing always does. It goes up, goes down. How much housing do we have available? How many people do we have wanting it? And it will continue to do that. The actual inflation is a genie that's been out of the bottle for 50 years. My dad bought our first home when I was a kid for $10,000. It was a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, 1-car garage house. I think it had a carport, not a garage. And it was $10,000. My dad was a vet, so he got a VA loan, which meant he put nothing down, and he made $100 a month payments. You're not going back to that. That genie's gone. Never going to happen. You can build all the government housing you want to build. You can do whatever you want to do, but it's not going back to that. So how many of these people do you think they'll really take out? I can't see them taking out more than a million of them, of the 20 million at most. So is that really going to hurt housing? No, because these people are not right now paying for housing. This third classification of illegals they want to get rid of are the people living in the cities under government housing. All those hotels in New York, all those hotels in Chicago, all those places that the poor American veterans and our unhoused people should be living in government housing, or at least housing that's paid for by the government, should not be going to illegal aliens. And that's the first thing the Democrats do is they mess with words. They call them undocumented workers. No, they're illegal aliens. They're here illegally. They broke the law to get here. Now they're going, no, because we changed the law that was said, it's okay. You can come and you can seek asylum. So the Democrats changed the words again. I think my crystal ball says the 51% or 61% of Americans that want change, that's the biggest thing they want, and they're going to push for it. But I don't think they want to go after just average people. They want to get them out of all the government housing, get them off all the government doles as much as they can. And none of that's going to hurt our economy because it's literally sucking our economy dry. So I think Trump's going to get some, going to have his way. But I don't think his way is to dig into the people who actually have jobs and doing something. I don't think that anybody's that dumb, either side, because they know it would hurt the economy. So there we go. I'm going to mark that one off. They are not going to pull so many illegal aliens out that it's going to hurt the economy or it's going to hurt housing. Take that one off of your list of fears. We are going to have good rental income and we are going to have good amounts of housing available. Is it perfect? Never was under any administration. I think it gets better under Trump. We'll be right back. The Del Wamsley Radio Show.
Teaching you with a roadmap to creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Wamsley Radio Show returns in moments.
The Lifestyles Unlimited team of real estate investing mentors and educators want to meet you. Learn to retire in 5 years or less. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297. Lifestyles Unlimited.
You're hearing the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to Del Wamsley Radio Show. Today we are discussing how might things change under a Trump administration and what will that mean to us as real estate investors. The next topic we want to tackle is interest rates. And interest rates are supposed to be not controlled by the president, not controlled by Congress. It's supposed to be, the Fed is supposed to be able to stand on its own 2 feet. So let's look at where we're at and think about where we're going with this thing. And does it really matter? When I started in real estate investing back in 87, interest rates were like 16%, some as high as 19%. The average is probably around 12% if you had good credit. When I was buying houses, I was getting 12% interest rates on these things. And then as the years went on, the interest rate kept going down. When it finally got down to like 8%, we thought the world, someone had hung the moon. The world had changed into perfection. Then when it got down to 7, we knew it was perfect. Then when it went down to 6, we go, uh-oh, somebody's cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs out there. When it went down to 5, it's like, okay, screw it. We don't know what we're doing. The world's changing. Interest rates are now going to be very, very low, and you can buy anything you want. When it went down to 4, it's like, okay, I can pay anything for a piece of real estate. When I'm only paying 4% interest to buy something, I'm basically stealing it. Then it went down into 3s. And so the entire marketplace went cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. People were overpaying for real estate on both single-family and multifamily housing by right now, it looks like it's come down 30 to 40% across the board. We'll say at least 30%. But really, in multifamily, it's probably more like 40%. They were paying prices for garbage pieces of multifamily properties that I used to think was too much to spend for a Class A property. Just out of your mind. My Class A properties I bought were right around $100,000 a door, a little higher than that. And I thought I paid too much for them. They were buying Class D and C properties for $150,000, $180,000 a door. Now, that's insane. Myself and anybody else that had any common sense at all didn't pay that for anything. Now, I bought a bunch of real estate over the last 5 years, but I didn't pay that. I just waited and found situations where the motivated seller would sell for the right price. But the people that went in and paid that much because of these low interest rates, thinking they could pay for anything with those rates, got hammered. And now there's blood in the streets. For those of you that got into deals during that time, you're probably regretting it. Some of you lost some of your money. Some of you lost all your money. It had nothing to do with real estate. It had everything to do with being uneducated. Boy, that was so much nicer than saying stupid about interest rates. So what should interest rates be? The average interest rate, look it up, right, over the last 30 years is 7.72%. Are you with me? The high is 18.6% back in Jimmy Carter times, back in 81. And the low is 2.65 in January of 21. But the average is 7.72. I'm giving a talk Thursday night, and it's going to be about where the economy is right now. And really, interest rates are way low again. They're now back down into the fours to fives. So when you say, well, what is Trump going to do with the interest rates? First of all, Trump doesn't have anything to do with it. But second of all, the interest rates are back to normal. They're back to good. They went up because of inflation. They jacked them all the way back up into the sevens again. But they only jacked them up to what the average is. 7.72 is the average for 30 years. So my crystal balls looks at this and says, there's going to be fluctuation. If Trump creates a bunch of inflation, interest rates will go back up a little bit. But because the way Trump creates the inflation is by everybody having more money, because businesses work, businesses hire people, people work, they have money, it just sort of all goes up together. So they don't need to mess with the interest rates as much. Now, if the Fed were to go cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs and lower interest rates, we'd be right back into the same problem we were. It was the Fed that destroyed the economy, and it was the Bidenomics, this new Green Deal, where they just blew out money to everybody. And also there was the COVID blowout, all the money that was given away for COVID. All of those big spending situations threw trillions of dollars into the street, and interest rates were next to nothing. Like it says here, as low as 2.65% at the low, and it destroyed the economy. My gut is it's within a short enough window of time that they're not going to forget that. And so I think interest rates are probably pegged pretty close to where they're going to be. That's good. I mean, they're between 4.5% and 5.5% now for mortgages. That's good. Those are good rates. And for us as investors, the more stable things are, the better for us. It's the being able to predict, it's the being able to price in the actual cost of doing business that makes a deal safe or not safe. It's the unpredictability that makes it risky. And so the volume of business will grow. It's gone way down now. The volume of real estate business has gone down so low that most commercial brokers I know are suffering. You know, they used to make $500,000 to $1 million a year on commissions. You go, now they're only making $100,000 a year, $200,000 a year, and that's suffering for them. You go, boy, I wish I suffered that well. Well, you should be a commercial real estate broker then, because they do big deals, make big money, big commissions, right? So what's next then? Well, you tie that together. What about Fannie and Freddie? So if interest rates are not really going to be a problem, the next thing is, will they lend? And that one, I don't have that answer to yet. I'm going to get with a couple mortgage brokers this week before I speak and find out what they think about that. But my assumption is Fannie and Freddie will start lending again. However, I've been told one thing, and that is because of all of these deals that are actually dead. They were dead 2 years ago, back in 21. That's actually 3 years now, huh? 21. When interest rates were 2.65, people were buying these deals and paying 200% what they should be paying for them, overpaying by 100%. Those deals were dead the day they were struck. And now those people, over 2-3 years, all the deals were done between then and beginning of 24. Most of them, maybe 80-90% of them, are going to die. And what you're seeing right now is, as you watch from the outside looking in, you're going to see these deals dying. But you won't really understand what's going on. You'll think the economy is bad, that real estate is bad. No, real estate's good again. But you've got these deals that were born with cancer. They're dying, and they're going to die. It's just a matter of time. And so there is some glut of these deals still in the system. Many of them have fallen out already, but there's still a glut in there. And until that glut goes away, there's going to be deals that are dying, which means what? Number one, we can buy deals at low prices. Number two, we can get fair interest rates to put them together with. So it's a wonderful thing. Now, some of you that are in bad deals, if the interest rates were to keep going down, might be able to save those deals. So you're hoping in your mind, your crystal ball, you're saying, well, Trump's going to make the economy so good that real estate values would go back up again. Real estate values went up and down based on interest rates, not on how strong the economy is. In fact, what you're going to find is that occupancy is what goes up and down. Now, occupancy should fall through to the value of a piece of real estate. The value of real estate is based on its income. But the problem is that it didn't. As interest rates went down, occupancies were going down also, and people were still paying more for the properties because they could. Those kinds of short-sighted decisions are what created all these dead-at-birth deals. And those deals are going to fall out, and the real prices will come through. All right, let's move on. When we get to the next topic here, which is tariffs, my belief is he's not going to raise 25% tariffs on Canada and on Mexico and 20% on China. He's just telling you, look, you guys have been messing with us. You always win. We have weak people. Our leadership, Biden, everybody here knows Biden was almost dead. And even before he was almost dead, he was a weak person. The very first thing he did when he came into control of the government was to give back Iraq and everything that we left there, trillions of dollars of stuff. I mean, everybody from that moment on, everybody knew, wow, we can get whatever we want out of the government, out of the U.S. And they did. And what Trump is doing is putting his foot down saying, it's over. There's a new sheriff in town. You got to put up with me for 4 years. And quite honestly, if I wanted to, I could destroy your economy. And he could if he put those tariffs out there. I don't think he's going to. I'm not worried about it. I think these people are going to come to the table and negotiate. He's using it, first of all, to close the borders. He didn't say, I'm going to give you these tariffs unless you stop producing goods and services to our country. He said, you got to stop letting the illegal aliens in. My God, no matter who you are, you're an idiot if you're a president of either one of those two countries and don't see, he's right, we got to stop. We can't afford to let our economy go crazy. Now, the people that may not is Mexico, because I think the criminals are running the country. I think the gangs are, whatever you call them, I think they run the country. So, you know, but that's my own feeling. But what do we care? You know, he's going to make them do something. He did before, he's going to do something. I think that's it. Now, why do I bring that up? Because I think the biggest fear that people have is if he actually does do the tariffs, is that the cost of everything will go up. All of our cost of maintenance, supplies. I remember when we had COVID, we couldn't get stoves and refrigerators and stuff because supply chains were shut down. Everything went up in cost. So I think that's the big fear. I'm not worried about it as much because I think he's bluffing. The next one you want to pick up on is, what about flood insurance? One of the things that Trump did when he became president last time was Obama was trying to change the national flood insurance program to where you could not claim on it more than once. And I honestly, that pulls a little liberal out of me saying, yeah, I agree. I don't think you should be able to claim on it more than once either. Either you raise your house or your apartment complex up and then you can get flood insurance again, or you just tear it down, leave it, or you get no flood insurance. That's the way I see it. Or you pay through the nose for a third-party carrier of some kind. But Trump didn't, and so he reversed Obama's ruling and or whatever he was doing, his decisions to try to change that, and Trump reversed him. Then Biden brought him back. And I think that when we talk about insurance, I think Trump will remove those flood insurance limitations again. So as far as the rest of the insurance, federal government has no control of insurance. It's a state-by-state ruled issue, and Trump is a state-by-state kind of guy. I don't think he wants to take that on because I don't think you can fix insurance. You've got the climate change greeny weenies out there that are saying, well, you know, because of climate change, everything's going to flood eventually, and, you know, that just changes where the beach is at. That's all. everything, the water levels go up. There's less land to live on, but there's still, we live on about 1/10 of all the land in the USA. There's still 90% more room for us to move around and get away from the flooding and so on and so forth. It's just that people like to live next to the water. That's the craziest part. And so what will happen is if there's no flood insurance, then eventually people will just move away from the water. You'll go visit the water on weekends, and then, but you won't live next to it. My house is in a neighborhood where some of the houses could actually flood, but my house is at least 50 feet higher than everybody else, or not everybody else, but from the low houses. There's no way it could flood. You'd have to flood the entire city, be gone. For my house to get any water, every other house in the subdivision would have to be underwater, completely gone. So I'm not worried about it. That's mean. Well, what about your apartment complexes? They're not where there's floods either. So you just, it's a choice you make, right? You're going to build in the flood zone, you're going to have problems. All right, moving on. You don't have time. Taxes. Trump passed the best real estate tax laws you could possibly have for us, and he's vowing to get them passed again. They're about to expire. But man, I'll tell you what. When Trump came in last time, he passed some tax laws that put $1 million in my pocket. And that's why the Dems scream loud about it, because he did. He set up entrepreneurs to make millions from better tax position. Now, argument is that entrepreneurs deserve to make that money because they are the engine that makes the whole thing work. All right. Energy priorities and climate policies. Obviously, the new Green Deal is dead on arrival with Donald Trump. That one's pretty easy to see. What does that mean? That's going to mean that a lot of these requirements right now, it costs $185,000 of every house just to meet government requirements to build a new home. $185,000 of government requirements just to build a new home. I think you're going to see some of that stuff go away. Housing policies. I think they're going to be fair. That's all I can say. So as we leave here in the last 30 seconds, I think it's going to be a great time to be a real estate investor over the next 4 years. Have a great day. See you tomorrow.
Listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more of Del's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Walmsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.